I say to you, do not worry for your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, or for your body, what you will wear. Behold, is not life much more important than food, and the body than clothing? Matthew 6:25, Aramaic version. There is nothing more ignorant than a rigid mind with fixed ideas, a mind that says it is rubbish because it cannot understand. Most minds are filled with the ideas of others and are incapable of thinking for themselves. An understanding mind is one that is pliable, for without pliability of mind, there can be no understanding. If then the mind has a fixed idea, and they say, this is true, well, it is not true, because truth is not an idea. But when the mind is pliable, it is able to open and receive according to the state of consciousness of the individual. As the consciousness unfolds or expands, so is the consciousness able to receive more and more of the truth. But while the consciousness is closed to the truth, that is to say, has fixed ideas in the mind which are immovable, then there can be no truth whatsoever, because truth is continually unfolding the mind of the individual. The individual is continually discerning more and more of the relative universe, that which is external to himself. Yet that which is within him, that unknowable, eternal thing, remains the same always. And that will always be discerning, always will be knowing the external universe, even knowing the planets and the stars and the movements of the heavens and the angelic world and the great artifices of the universe. That unknowable thing will be discerning all these things and will know them all as things external to himself or herself. Yet it will be that unknowable that will always remain unknowable. Even the great archangels in heaven are the same, because they are experiencing the same thing that you are doing. According to the consciousness, the unfoldment then of the mind. So, the full unfoldment of the individual consciousness of man, so can the consciousness of man discern all that the universe is made up from and how it is made up. The how is easily understood, but the why remains eternal in that unknown. And we will know then that that unknowable is yourself, your real self. It can be none other, because it is you that is continually discerning things external to the self. But that which is discerning will always remain unknowable. That is the real self. That's me. That's you. Therefore, you do not know what it is, but you know that it is. Truth, freedom, is always unfolding the consciousness that is aware of itself as the creator of thought, also the creator of conditions, and the moving power in human nature. But as man unfolds his consciousness, reveals a divine nature that is eternal and perfect, and knows nothing of death, sickness, or health, success or failure. It knows nothing of these because these belong to the mind, which is double. Consciousness is an awareness of being. When you look with your physical eyes, you see an outside world. You are aware of your own physical body. When you close your eyes, you do not see the physical world around you, but you can hear all the sounds of life. Still, you are aware of being. This is the great thing that is so essential in your life. You can become aware of everything that is external to yourself, but you must also become aware of something that is unknowable. That which always recedes when you want to discern it or analyze it. And to prove it's true, what I'm telling you, you can try analyzing this self of yours, what we call the real self. Analyzing that which is thinking, and analyzing that which is discerning. And you will see that what you are discerning is always external to that which is analyzing. And that which is analyzing defies analysis, because it always is analyzing, and yet cannot be analyzed. It's an awareness of this eternal and wonderful expansion of life fills the whole universe. In fact, we know perfectly well that ether, which is the primordial substance of all matter, in which all matter is built and all forms are built, the very ether, which we call the ether of space, fills all space. Ether is a conductor of all force, thought, electromagnetic impulses, radio, everything. This ether is a conductor of all energy and physical life too. It's a conductor of your own thoughts. It fills all space between the atoms. It's a conductor of the very force that joins the electron to the atom. It is the conductor of the etherons. I can coin that name just because I know that there is an ether which we will eventually find out. We know from the Master's point of view in the study in the Himalayas that there is what we call etherons. Etherons is a finer form of atomic structure which is in the ether. It becomes the blueprint of the image or form to be created on the physical. Therefore, these etherons become what we call condensed, and then they bring into atoms. The atoms we know of, that is the basis of all matter in your physical bodies. Then, through the atoms, there is what we call a materialization of these atoms, being reduced in vibration, which becomes a form visible to the physical eye. And thought is the cause of it all, the thought that is emanating from the mind of the infinite, the consciousness of God, always forming, creating in that consciousness, and that consciousness outpicturing through the rays of light and sound, a form visible to the physical eye. You have within you that very power, and that is the power of the Christ. I can see his power so wonderful. I can understand his great wonderful feats, because he knew the power that set thought in motion. He knew perfectly well that he and the Father was one, and this unknowable power that created the whole universe was responsible for his own thinking, and the projection of his own thoughts to any part of the world he wanted to, at the very moment this shall be, and it is so. If we could only understand a little bit more how wonderful it would be. Yet we will come to that sooner or later. There's so much to discuss in this lecture, but to go into these very things now, it would be taking us off the lecture for tonight. With continual concentration on the inner senses, you can become completely unconscious of the outer world and become conscious of another world inside, but you are still aware of being. Consciousness naturally permeates all states, but goes beyond into the state when consciousness becomes aware of itself and nothing else. That is a state where everything is discerned in the mind. All images, all ideas in the mind has been discerned, and there's a quietness and peace comes. All thoughts, all emotions, all effects, all reactions have been discerned. You have seen them as things external to yourself. Then there's a quietness that comes into the mind. The masters call samadhi, for the consciousness becomes aware of itself, not what it is, but aware that it is. Then there's a resting period, a period of rest, but soon the consciousness becomes active. There's a stirring then of the consciousness within the consciousness. And in that stirring of the consciousness within this consciousness, there is an eagerness that comes and cannot be stopped. Then the real work begins. Your work in the world. Remember that this band of people here can, by this knowledge that we have, to send waves of impulses of thought into the ether, and these impulses into the ether are similar to what you radio out in the radio station. And you can hear a broadcast at any part of the world at the same time. Not only upon Earth, but up in the stratosphere as well, showing that these impulses are moving throughout the whole of the ether, and the ether is being magnetized by them. And anyone who tunes into the wavelength can receive. So it is with thought. Our thoughts are similar. We have the instrument not only of receiving, but of projecting. When you begin to receive, you want to listen, what do? You bend your head slowly, quietly. What does that do? It sets your pineal gland in operation. As a receiver, vibration, which then are come into the mind and interpreted in the mind. Then you begin to know and feel the vibration. The thought comes into your consciousness and you become aware of it. But when you want to project a thought, what do? You stand forward, and from this point, you direct your power. You direct your thought. Flows from the pituitary, which you have both a receiving and projecting set within ourselves. These glands have not been yet known to physical science of what the real value is. We are also contend that there are certain forms of growth and so forth that come from these glands, which is true. The pituitary gland, when it is in any way compressed and sometimes stilted in its form, we find the growth of the individual stilted. It is a form of projection. But in the ordinary way, man has a receiving and projecting set. And as we think, and as we send our thoughts into the atmosphere, so they go out in ever-widening circles, magnetizing the ether and waiting for a resting place. The resting place is mankind. Therefore, what kind of thoughts are you sending out into the world? Thoughts of hate, envy, jealousy, antagonisms, or the great thought of love? Magnetizes the physical body, makes the whole environment sort of attractive, sends that very power away into the ether, and then returns back to the sender. Imagine then what Jesus knew. Just think what he knew. From these few words I have told you now, you will realize the importance of what I'm going to tell. There are subtle states of mind that one is not physically aware of. You digest your food without knowing it, inhale and exhale. The life-giving force that keeps the body alive pump your blood to the remotest part of the body, eliminate the impurities from the body, and maintain an even temperature winter and summer by a form of internal adjustment. Who is it that maintains your bodily health so that you can express yourself in the body? You will say that you do not do all this consciously, but there is no one outside the body doing it. All these amazing things are done for you, and you must admit that there's no one outside the body doing it. There must be someone inside the body doing it. And if you then realize the great importance of what I have said to you, but this unknown quantity, which is the creative power in everything, in there is the power. There is no machine created that can match this wonderful mechanism that underlies the human organism. Since all machines, even the most intricate, are the creation of the human mind, we must realize that the created can never match its creator. As we begin to understand, we will realize that the subconsciousness is the same consciousness that is underneath. That the subconsciousness and the consciousness is the same. One is external and the other is internal. One is in the outer and the other is in the inner. Thus we are in constant touch with a source of inspiration, genius, intuition, and a limitless source of love, wisdom, and power. But if you're caught up in ideas, images, beliefs, tradition, if consciousness is bound up in them and there is no longer any freedom, because you act and think in accordance with what you believe, therefore, anything that is fixed in the mind is binding, a prison in which we live. We may change our ideas, our beliefs, but this is only substituting one prison for another. To free our consciousness, there must be a true discernment and understanding of what is in the mind. We must know that ideas are just ideas. We must know what our images are and how they come about. Now listen, because this is most important. If you do not do this, your mind cannot be free or have that freedom to expand, to take in the expansion of the universe, the person who says it doesn't exist because he cannot understand is an ass, because he won't take the trouble to think, because his mind is fixed with fixed ideas. Therefore, we must know that ideas are just ideas. We must know what our images are and how they come about. We must know and discern our beliefs and why we believe as we do. Now ask yourself these questions, because unless you do that, you just believe. But you don't know why you believe. You don't know what your images are and how they came about. Therefore, you live in a world of confusion. Your thoughts, then, must be confusion. And you're sending out continuous wave after wave of thought impulses into the ether that's causing confusion in the world. Are you adding, then, to the confusion of the world? Or are you adding thoughts of harmony, peace, and love into this great ether ocean which everything exists? We must understand what rituals are. Why do you repeat those things you say from a ritual point of view? Why do you make affirmations? You must also understand what rituals are, what tradition is. Are you just follow tradition, or you have ever examined the fact what tradition is? I'm not going to tell you that, because unless you find it out for yourself, I'm not going to answer for you. You find, you add the sum up for yourselves and you put the answer to it. If I add up your sum and put the answer to it, you will know nothing. But if you do as I say, you will know what tradition is. You will know what your images are. You will know what ideas are. You will also know what your beliefs are and why you believe as you do. Then we will see that these things have nothing to do with truth freedom, but only limit the passion that is caught up in them, even in the idea of reality as not reality. If we are not aware of our conditioning, we will never free ourselves from it. Most people are unaware of being. The proof is in the multitude that float in the sea of ignorance, tossed by every whim, idea, or emotion, and are drowned in their effects. They rush here and there to find health and happiness. The one cry is, how can I change my environment? How can I demonstrate health, wealth, success? How can I obtain the key that opens the door to all these things? So they rush here and there to those who claim that they can teach them. All they do is to put them on a rudderless boat, still subject to the storms and waves of the sea of ignorance. That's exactly what they do. They give you no key whatsoever, because they do not know the key themselves. Is it not so that all these people speak of God as separate and distinct? They make their God relative, something apart from themselves, and they do the same to you too, and by doing so they separate you from the very creative power that is with thee. Now, matter cannot say, I suffer, I die, I am sick, I am well, I am a failure, I am a success. It's the individual consciousness that is caught up in these things. This is the error: being unaware of being. So, to the individual consciousness, sin, suffering, death are real. But to the true sense, Call it immortal or divine, the name does not matter. There is no sense of error, and no error of sense. Therefore, it has no destructive element in it. Therefore, sin or death does not really exist except in the physical consciousness. It cannot exist in that unknowable. It cannot exist in that infinite mind. It cannot exist in reality. It exists only in the individual mind. But what do we find? Naturally, when you examine the mind, you find the mind is double. That there are always images in the mind, and there are always twin images. There is always good and evil together, health and ill health. All these things, success and failure, are tied together. When one is up, the other is down. So forth, faith and fear, one is up, the other is down, and when the other comes up, the other is down. They are both on the same yardstick, they both through one another, therefore you cannot get rid of the negative by trying to put the positive in its place, because it won't go. How are you going to get rid of all these things then from the mind? You go to any assembly anywhere, the first thing you hear is about sin and death and the devil and hell and all the rest of these wonderful places that people go into. And you come away wondering what it's all about. You never hear anything of the Christ, the real living Christ that is living within you. That is the only begotten Son of the Father, that is love itself. Love giving expression to itself, with goodwill to all men. The Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father that existed in the beginning, because he was with God. He was the Word that was with God. And God was that Word, and that Word was made manifest. That same Christ, in the beginning, is in you and me. That is the eternalness of our creativeness. If you are shown these things, children should be shown these things from the time they were born. Then there shall be no fear in the world. Fear has been built into the child's mind the very time he's born into his lifetime. The fear of sin, the fear of death, and everything is fear. There's always a conditioning. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do that, that will happen. So they all the time are conditioned in their lives looking for these conditions. They are hypnotized from the time they are born to the time they die. Therefore, it was true what the Master said, you die in your ignorance. If truth and error commingle, they produce health and sickness, good and evil, life and death. Then who can say whether truth or error is the greater? Can you, when they're both side by side, can you tell me which is the greater? Sickness or health? Success or failure? Good or evil? You can't tell me which is greater than the other. The power to see and hear does not originate in matter. They originate in mind. Otherwise, there could be no understanding of what you hear and see. It is the soul that perceives, the body is but an instrument that the soul uses for its own self-expression. If the soul is unaware of being, then it is caught up in the error that the body is subject to all matter of condition and that the mind has no say in the matter. We call the body material, but science has proved that the body is mind and formation, and the directing power behind the formation is the consciousness. I'd like to go into a discourse of showing you how the body is built, by closing my eyes and seeing these various the conditions from ether then coming into form and the body being created. And that same body always returns to the substance of which it came. You cannot take anything outside the universe, nor can you add one iota to it, complete in itself. The human mind makes all things start from the lowest and stay from the highest. Suppose now we reverse the process and see the formation from the source of all things, that perfect divine consciousness that knows no duality. So in tracing them, we constantly ascend in infinite being, where there can be no separation, no error, no duality. The physical consciousness, the illusive one, the cause of error, then dissolves away and the consciousness of reality takes its place. Time is coming yet in this world when this physical consciousness, this consciousness of error, will pass away when the Christ completely fills the individual mind. He who seeks to save his life and the body will lose it, but he who gives up his life will retain it. Everybody is trying to save their life and the body. They're always worrying about whether they're going to die or so forth, or what they've got is going to kill them. They're continually wondering when they're going to die and how they're going to die, whether they die in Africa or India or anywhere else, and they don't want to die in this place, they want to die somewhere else. So they go on continually in this state of upheaval all the time, and what's happening to their body? The very thoughts created disintegrate the very atoms of the body and cause all the, but if you tell them these things, they just look at you in wonder. It's so wonderful, but they can't really grasp it. So everybody's killing themselves one way or another. But if you don't care that you want to save your life and the body, it doesn't matter, you retain it. And the less you care about it, the better it is. Sure it is. Now, you know better well, in June this year, I'll be entering in my 75th year. But I'm as good as any person at 35. Just come up and try me and see. No, the less you worry about your life, which is so true, but you do not realize the Master's words. You take them, you read them, and you say, well, I don't understand it, you pass it by. You make no effort to fathom the words, the meaning of the words. When the physical consciousness gives up the delusion that there is more than one mind, more than one God, then man in God's likeness will appear. The eternal man must include all the attributes of that likeness, having dominion over all things as natural and not supernatural, as we are asked to believe. There is no such thing as supernatural. Everything is natural. Supernatural is supposed to be something that somebody else has and nobody else has got. You see? Jesus never claimed any supernatural powers. All his powers were natural, and these are natural in us also. These things I do, even greater things shall you do, if you will but believe, if you will even understand me. The physical consciousness must free itself from the bondage of material existence. Then the spiritual, the eternal existence of divine principle dawns upon our consciousness. Thus we will have our immortal birth that nothing can shake. That immortal birth comes to you now. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, clearly and distinctly, unless ye are born again, this time of spirit and water, you shall never enter the kingdom of God. What did he mean by that? He meant clearly this. Let him form the separation and distinction. But water was the name they give to that primordial substance that permeated the whole universe, that pliable substance out of which everything came and everything existed in. Therefore it was spirit and ether, nothing more than that. The consciousness of God and the body of God, the one in all and the all in one. We will say with understanding, I and the Father are one. Can you realize the meaning of this saying fully? Think deeply upon it. When this is understood, the earth will be transformed and the darkness of the error of separations will pass away. Man will then understand that not a blade of grass, not a flower or a tree or a bud blooms by its own volition. Man will see that there is nothing on earth that has not its source in the Infinite One. We should no longer ask the question, is it our lungs, is it our heart, is it our liver, etc.? We will understand that we are immortal spirit. We are no longer mute before ignorance, neither will we mingle with error, but will cast it out by the truth of our immortality. But you must find that immortal birth first. Then these things come naturally to you. And Jesus was seeing clearly and distinctly how this great birth, this new birth of spirit and water, doing away with all the organs and the physical separation of organs in the body, doing away with the form itself as something separate and distinct, but seeing the spirit, the perfect substance out of which everything is created, these were the two things he saw, what must be established in the consciousness of man, then all these other things will pass away. I can understand his mind so well. I can see clearly his meaning. And when I think of him sending his thought at that moment, such and such of the case, such and such of the case, so it is. I and the Father are one. There's so much in that saying. As your consciousness unfolds, so you see greater and greater vistas of it. You can only take according to your capacity to receive. As your consciousness unfolds, so your capacity to receive more is given to you. Don't allow then your consciousness to be strung up in small little things that hold your consciousness continually in the relative all the time. If you do, it will be useless for you in the future to try and ever reach that state where Jesus said, that immortal state, when you are born again, this time of spirit and water. We will then understand our psychological cravings, our demands, our conflicts. We will transcend our inner passions, our inner fears, our envies. will no longer determine to possess much or possess little. We will eliminate intelligently these demands to find that we have everything. There is no difference between trying to possess much and possess little. One will go to a mountaintop and sit for years and give away everything. He wants little, takes little. Another wants to possess. Both are the same boat. One is in the one yardstick, another the other. Both are foolish. We have not yet reached that state of true understanding. We will no longer seek power, nor will be self-assertive, for there will be a peace that passes all understanding. We will have found the source of our creative reality, being, not becoming, but being. Try to understand this fully. When we live in the ever-present being, we are no longer in want. There is no seeking for little, nor seeking for much. As I said before, you take no heed of your life in the body, because it is eternal. He who seeks to save his life in the body will lose it. He who gives up his life will retain it. He who worries about his life will lose it much quicker than the person who doesn't worry about it at all. We will no longer be seeking security, for in the mind that is seeking security, there is fear. Is that not so? And if you seek security in one hand and you're fearful on the other, what happens to you? Is that not a mind in confusion? What you send out comes back. The very basis of security is not in seeking, but in knowing. The highest form of our thinking, feeling, is knowing. Not in positive aggression, but in divine comprehension. In this is the basis of our security, the wonderful truth. When we grapple with the problems of mass murder, hunger, and destruction on their own level, we only create further misery and catastrophe. For we will then only be concerned with reorganization of greed, ill will, and ignorance, and there will be no end to confusion and antagonisms. Neither does it help us to rebel against these conditions. Neither can freedom come through trying to escape from them, for there is no escape except through understanding. The error is in the belief that material means will eliminate material suffering, and it cannot be done. But it is the error that is existing in the human mind today, and we have got to see that it is clear. Otherwise, we will still continue doing the same thing all the time. Remember, our will to do is not wisdom. If physical consciousness is not aware of its own creation, it can never alleviate its own suffering. Evil is not a power. It's an illusion of the senses, and soon betrays its own weakness. It has no existence in the soul of man, and when this is realized, it will fall away, because it is the mockery of man. And it mocks him at every turn. It says, believe that I exist. Believe that I am power. And that's the very thing that it wants you to believe in. To accept that it has power. Jesus said, resist not evil, return good for evil. Is it not said in the parables, he who returns evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house? Therefore I say to you this, clearly and distinctly, get behind the mind, see it and understand. I have said, in other words, if we seek an escape of our self-conditioning by believing that we are one with God, this will just be an idea we bring into our conditioning. For we are still caught up in our conditioning. There can be no freedom through the mere idea that you are one with God. Freedom only comes when we discern all that's conditioning us. All that's preventing the expression of this power, this unknowable thing that is creative throughout the whole universe and creative in man. Then we will understand the meaning of freedom. Can you understand freedom if you're conditioned? If you do not know what's conditioning you, how can you eliminate your conditioning? So we clearly see that if the reformer or the contributor to the solution of the world's problems, which are his own, has not radically transformed himself, if he has not the inner realization of true values, then what he contributes will only add to further conflict and misery. And that is what's happening around the world today, and you see it with your own eyes. I am giving you facts that I want you to read carefully. I want you to study them. I want you to see how true they are. I want you to see the depths of them. He or she who is eager to transform the world must first understand him or herself. For we are we not the world? Are we not made the world what it is? The present misery and degradation of man is brought about by man himself. If he merely plans to reform the pattern of conflict without understanding himself, he will only increase ignorance and sorrow. And we have all those reformers, or so-called reformers today. We have them in the back blocks. We have missionaries here and there and all the rest. We have sometimes caused more trouble by changing the religion of one person into another religion. And then by not following the footsteps of the creator of that religion, they lose the respect of those who try to change their religion. The ignorant person who's taught the life of Christ, who's taught kindness and love and so forth. But when they see antagonism, strife and cruelty and greed from those who teach this so-called religion, they lose faith. No wonder then. The heathen is better off without a religion if he is not shown the proper way by those who must go the way themselves. Love, kindness, compassion, these are the things that are essential in our lives. And as sure as you are alive at this moment, I tell you a truth. That whenever one section of the people is dominated, those who create that domination are creating the means for their own destruction. Look throughout the whole world and history will tell you that. It's a law, an infallible law, but man has not yet seen it. Mark my words, may come in your time, and it may not, but as sure as you're alive, All these races who have been dominated are beginning to rise to the surface. And when they find their freedom, and they come together throughout the whole of the world, and the world is teeming with them, billions and billions of them, there'll be very little hope for the previous masters. I remember when I was in the East long ago, many years ago, I knew the Arabs and I knew the Indians. I was in the Secret Service at that time, and I know perfectly well how the Arabs used to respect us. Then gradually this respect turned into disrespect. And so it was in India, the same thing, because they were once cowed and dominated, and immediately they found they threw off the domination. I assure you that we are creating an instrument for our own destruction. And that, I say, is the great Armageddon, which I think is not, as people think, today. It is not today. What is today is a battle of ideology, a battle of ideas. It is not the battle of the Armageddon. Then that is the fusing, the great fusing power. Those who were the hewers of water and the cutters of wood will eventually dominate the world. And those who were the masters who enslaved must pay the penalty. For everything you send out shall return to you. Everything, even if it reaches the other end of the universe, it comes back to the sender. That's why Jesus said very carefully, "Condemn not, lest ye be condemned." If we would desire eternal values, there must be an end to conflict within, so that peace will come into our souls, thus into the world. If man will not understand the cause that perpetuates antagonism, strife and war, confusion and misery, they will never cease in his own life or in the world. The power of the physical consciousness over the body is little understood, just as the power of material consciousness of the world is little understood. If by suffering we are awakened out of our mortal dream, and that which perpetuates that dream, then the less we think about material means and laws, the more thought we give to the divine nature of man, the sooner we will have that peace that passes all understanding. I heard today, which is a very good thing, he said, "If you don't break a law every day, you're not worth living." You're not up to much if you don't break a law every day. It seems peculiar to say that, but when you see this, so great is it, it's true. Oh, how many laws are made for you? Man-made laws are continually holding you and gripping you and holding you in bondage. The divine law is not. It gives you expansion and peace. Man will only find this, so will the world, when man regenerates and adjusts his mind through understanding and awareness of his own being now, not in some future date, which is but an illusion. I am the Lord thy God, now and forevermore. What a wonderful thought the prophet had. And he knew perfectly clearly, "I am the Lord thy God." Benediction. No longer whine with complaint, nor shall I say that thou hast yoked me to the demands of the flesh. Neither do I crave any more for earthly comforts, for they are the figments of my mortal sense. Neither shall I blame any man for being busy with material things, for everyone must find his own way. All I know is that thou watered the yielding crops that grew without man's aid. All man did was to plant the seed, and thou, the master potter, molded the earth and sprinkled it with sun and rain. Now I'm content, and all is mine because we are one, for thy seed is mine, and mine is thine, O infinite God.